This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. It is Tuesday, and yesterday we had the great pleasure of being out at Dallas Retirement Center for a couple of hours live. Really fun to honor the veterans, talk to a few veterans, see the facility out there. So if you didn't have an opportunity to listen because you took the day off, or you weren't, you know, or something. Don't take the day off from Newsmakers.
No.
That's just the thing. But you can always hit the podcast if you've missed a show. You want to hear a guest. Last Friday, we had Commissioner Cameron on. Very good hour. Very good hour. So while you're hitting the treadmill, while you're commuting, you download the podcast and listen. Well, this is the place, folks, for local talk radio, local issues, institutions, initiatives, and individuals. And today we have one of those. We have got an individual, a friend of mine, goes way back, actually. I don't like to say how many years because it makes me feel old. But we have an individual in the community. It's kind of been, had her finger in so many different things through the organization she works with and now is with Salem Health. So I ran into Cindy Lanasar.
Good job. I said it right.
Thank you. Cindy Lanasar, last week at the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, had a public policy forum in which it featured Cheryl Nestor Wolf, who is the CEO of Salem Health. It was really, first of all, Cindy, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be fun and easy, like all of our guests find. It's always fun and easy to talk to Brent and Dave. So Cindy has moved to Salem Health, but I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll get to that in the hour because it's been in the news that they're going to expand. It's certainly a far greater chunk of our region and its personality and our region and its resources and its health care and all those things. And their involvement in the community is great. And I know your new role is for you to be involved in the community.
Definitely. My role is investing our time, talent, and treasure. So I can't wait to tell you about that.
Okay. But before we get there, we want to recap a little bit because you had a long career at Community Action Agency, which I think a lot of our listeners are not that familiar with. But before the hour is done, they will be. And let's get to know who you are. So you raised a couple kids in the community. You've been here a while. When did you come to Salem?
I moved to Salem in 1996.
I've been here longer than you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you and I met in Little League.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And our Little Leaguers might be 24 right now, so it's been a while.
It's been a couple of days.
It's been a couple of days.
Back in, yes, I remember I've had your sons on the field, especially your older boy. So we want a spotlight that. We got to hit this right away. You've got a young man you got to be very proud of. It's not just came out of the public school system, is now in a leadership role in the public school system. So brag about your kid.
Okay, so I have three amazing children. The one you happen to be talking about is Connor Astley.
Con man.
Con man. He is a product of the Salem-Keizer School District, and from third grade on, he wanted to be a high school teacher. But he also excelled in football and got a football scholarship to go to Southern Oregon University. And when he was there, he became a national champion with that team and received his degree in 4 years. Did a one-year intensive master's and is in his second year of teaching at McNary High School.
Teacher at McNary. So has to
and
change.
Football coach, just FYI.
Oh, and football coach.
Oh, sure. Just toss that in there.
Let's see. So let's not just gloss over that whole, what do you mean national champion? He's Southern Oregon. He's playing for the football team. And in their division, they have playoff systems, right?
That's right. Southern Oregon has been an independent school for many years, but then they joined the NAIA. And they did that just a few years before Connor got there. And in his 4 years, they went to the national championships twice.
Wow.
They won it once, and they did not, unfortunately, win it the second time.
Still,
but that's a good story. The funnel gets very thin at the high school, and the college level and above, so He's a very talented individual.
Indeed. So isn't that cool, though, that he wanted to be a teacher?
Yes.
At an early age and came to fruition. So he got his master's, his intensive master's, got a job back home.
Yep.
So now he has to change the allegiance of which uniforms he's rooting for and promoting, right?
True.
And he's teaching. What does he teach?
He teaches history and social studies.
History and social studies, then goes out to the football field and teaches.
Yep.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Right. Just to give homage to the other two, my junior is Josh Lanasar, and he's at Oregon State right now studying business.
Go Bees.
And then my youngest, Matthew, a.k.a. Moose, is at Oregon State as well, but in Bend, and he's studying kinesiology. He wants to be a physical therapist.
Well, wow. That's a good school. I don't know if we should let the word out, you know, because Matthew has found it, but OSU Cascades campus is incredible. That's
yes.
some great real estate up there. It's on the hill on the west side there. It's up on the hill. I mean, you can be mountain biking and you can be hiking, and it's OSU.
It's an amazing campus, but I also got to say, go Ducks. I mean, come on now. I'm a Duck.
Okay. Yeah, well, we got to talk
right.
about Cindy. We're talking to Cindy Lanasar. Who currently is with Salem Health. She's a community relations liaison, but so many things to talk about with you. As long as we're getting to know you, you were a Duck, and you've raised some athletes, but you yourself was an athlete. You were an athlete.
I was. I think I've played almost every sport known to man.
What about women? Known
well,
to women as well?
Women as well, okay. Yeah. In high school, I was a triple athlete with volleyball, swimming, and softball.
Wow.
And then I did play volleyball in college for Southern Oregon University.
Wow.
Before transferring to U of O.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Southern Oregon, they are the Raiders?
The Raiders.
The Raiders,
yep.
Okay. Whew, good.
Good job.
Look at those nuggets he pulls out.
I know.
She is a talented individual. We're happy to have her in the community. We're talking to Cindy Lanasar. All right. I want to shift a little bit, talk about, but by the way, congratulations on raising a great crop of kids.
Thank you. Very lucky and proud.
16 years, Community Action Agency. How
yep.
many different hats did you wear while you were there?
Two.
Just two?
Well, maybe three. I was hired when the Drug Prevention Network received a federal grant from the Office of Drug Control Policy to invest in our community and bring business and the faith community into drug prevention strategies. So that was my initial role, was program director for the Drug Prevention Network. And then I moved up to a leadership role within that division of the agency. And after several years doing that and having very huge success in our community with drug prevention strategies, in fact, we were recognized in 2003 by President Bush and CADCA, which is Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, as the best organization and county who was receiving reductions in access for minors and increased strategies in the nation.
Wow.
And it was quite a big privilege to be part of that work back then.
Imagine what our community would be like. And this is one of these things that you don't read about in the paper, right? What Cindy's doing, what Community Action's doing, Drug Prevention Network's doing. Imagine what our community would look like if the work and the groundwork hadn't been done 15 years ago.
Yeah.
16 years ago. How bad could it be? Mm. How bad would it look? It's one of those things where you get the ounce of prevention or diversion and you get people from going down a route that ends up costing the entire society and us taxpayers as well to pay for things that went sideways in our community that you're trying to prevent.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's a pretty amazing story.
It was a great effort, and I'm thrilled that some of those initiatives are still moving forward. The Chambers of Commerce have both adopted drug-free workplace stances and policies helping members. There are still youth reduction strategies and involvement for reductions of alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs to minors, which is really great. So I'm glad that work has carried on. I did do that work for about 6 years. I left the agency and went to the United Way for a couple years. Mm. Learned how to fundraise in a more big style. I worked directly with Dick Wefnell for two campaign seasons. Very proud of that work, taking that organization from a $1 million to a $2 million agency in 2 years' time. And then I came back to Community Action as the deputy director, and that's where my remaining 9 years with the organization was.
Wow, that is good. It's kind of nice that you had an opportunity to skip out and go to another organization, learn elements of that part of the community and that part of the nonprofit world, and be able to utilize and then come back.
Definitely.
And great growth.
Yes.
True. So a lot to be proud of. We're talking to Cindy Lanasar at Salem Health, community relations liaison, but also talking about community action agency. We got to give me a 30-second overview. I'm on an elevator with you for four floors, and you have to explain to me what community action agency does.
Well, Community Action Agency is actually an act of Congress when President Johnson declared a war on poverty. And the rule or the motion back then was to get the federal resources to the local level so we, as the citizens in our community, can determine how we were going to help those struggling with poverty. So there's more than 1,000 community actions across the nation.
1,000. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And ours is serving Marion and Polk County primarily. And amazing programs. And some of the original programs that were launched back in 1964, Head Start. We have energy services, helping people pay their utilities, weatherization services, weatherizing low-income dwellings. There's also housing and homelessness through Arches. Home Youth and Resource Center and Taylor's House are very dedicated programs to homeless and at-risk youth in our community, and amazing programs. The Demunias Resource Center, which is part of the Marion County Reentry Initiative.
Yes.
And Nutrition First, which is kind of a USDA food program like we have in our school system, but it's for home-based daycares. And that helps those entrepreneurs have healthy meals for the kids in their care, and it's a USDA federally funded program.
Wow. I need a 20-story building to be in the elevator to get that.
Fast all right, elevator.
We're going to have to take our first break. We're going to come back, continue to talk to Cindy about CAA, Community Action Agency, and how it intersects with Arches, how it intersects with Head Start, and the homeless in the community before we dive into some Salem health issues. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Joining us in the studio is Cindy Lanasar. She is a community relations liaison. Before we get too deep into this, and I was saving your Salem Health things, but what does that do? What does a community relations liaison for Salem Health do?
Well,
you obviously wanted the job. You took it.
I did. You know, I think I have the best job at the hospital. There's a lot of people that do amazing things there, but it is partially my sole responsibility to reach out into the community, find the amazing things that we are doing in Marion and Polk counties, and find a place for Salem Health to invest our time, talent, and treasure. So I'm constantly looking for health partnerships, looking for organizations that we can move some health initiatives forward, finding ways to bring people into our hospital, use our facility for meetings or things like that, just making good neighbor, good partner, good community relations investments for Salem Health and West Valley Hospitals.
And how long have you been in this current role?
About a year and 3 months, four months.
Well, I know it must be very exciting. You're a year into it, and we're talking about your previous life, but I think it's important. And I wanted you here today to kind of go into the overview, because you really have seen elements of the community that most people have not seen.
I've had a very unique opportunity in the jobs that I have had.
So Community Action Agency, you were there 16 years in two different stints. You're talking before the break about the different programs that are in there. That was a long list. It's kind of an umbrella organization, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know it was authorized by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you got federal grants, and mm-hmm. that's how you originally got the job there.
Well, and they're local and independent, so it's not a federal agency. That's the one distinction, is that all community actions are local and independent, which allows our local voice and our local leaders to have a voice in how we spend our funding. But it is an act of Congress that we are established.
Okay.
And maintains that.
And the money comes from the federal.
A lot of it does, but not all.
But for Head Start, give us that as an example. So
Office of Head Start gives us a lot of money. And I should say not, I should clarify, I am no longer an employee,
yes,
but I love this organization and spent a lot of time. So this is my own history and personal story here. I'm not speaking on behalf of the agency, of course, or the board of directors. But the Head Start program when I was there, and still is, a two-county organization. There's more than 1,000 children in the daycare programs, and Head Start is really, it's dedicated to those 0 to 5-year-olds, making sure that they have the right start in life, so when they get to kindergarten, they're going to be good learners. And the program is centered around those kids, but it's family-focused. There's a lot of support for the parents and the siblings of the child that is in the care.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the strategies help those families become stronger and more resilient to be able to be strong adults and families so that our community thrives.
Right. So it's administered with a two-county organization,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's, yep, not some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. running our local Head Start program.
No, right, not here at all.
So let's go back to something that was really a crucial part of what you, the role you played there in the Drug Prevention Network. Because I'm going to ask your opinion here.
Okay.
So we see in the news things like we've, of course, have now legalized marijuana. Now, and you were promoting drug-free workplaces,
mm-hmm,
for a long time. I had a company that did drug testing. I think we even used some of your resources for
you
this.
You did.
And now the policymakers are wanting to make it illegal for people to test or monitor or discipline anybody who has used drugs if they were not clocked in, kind of thing. Especially, it's a cannabis issue, of course,
mm-hmm,
but in a way, we're trying to protect the rights of the substance user now. Is that a huge pendulum swing? Is that kind of finding some middle ground? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my first thought is that it is definitely a subject that is growing with multiple different opinions. In an organization that is mostly federally funded or has a certain designation, it doesn't matter what your state law is,
mm-hmm,
you abide by the federal statute of what is an illicit drug, and marijuana is still on that list. So there's fitness for duties, and each organization, each business right now really needs to look at themselves, make their own policies, write them very clearly, and make sure that their stance as an employer is known to their employees and that they maintain a regular schedule of whatever their policy is.
Mm-hmm.
Until there is some defining rules and guidance by state and federal on this, it is kind of a mucky issue for people. But in my role running the Drug Prevention Network, and as well as my role at Community Action when I oversaw the drug court, veterans court, and mental health courts, I can tell you that marijuana is a gateway drug of huge consequence. Most individuals that were repairing their lives began with marijuana early in their use, and it elevated to now I'm in court for a reason.
And so I'm trying not to read into this, but that swing that says we now need to protect your right to smoke a doobie at lunch hour is so, it's just the antithesis of what you were working towards. And you're trying to drug prevention for so many years,
mm-hmm,
that you're working towards this and getting it out of the workforce and getting young people to not steer that direction into the gateway and so forth. And now our policymakers that over at the big house wanted to make it illegal for employers to, they're trying to protect the people's right to smoke marijuana. Right. And maybe they're off the clock, but it could happen on the way to work. It could happen during the lunch hour. And you said something really interesting about the policies and fitness for duty.
Yeah. You've got to know as an employer that you are not a drug sniffing dog. You do not know what people are going to do while they are using substances. So you have to maintain that fitness for duty. What does fitness for duty look like for your organization? And if you find that someone is not fit for duty, you're citing them for that. You're not saying I'm citing you for drinking beers on your lunch or, you know, smoking on the way to work. You've really got to stay away from that because your expertise in whatever organization you are in is not in drug detection. It's fitness for duty.
And I know this is a previous role for you, but it's an important message and important knowledge for employers to have. So we're going to advise them right now to make sure that they have something in writing, Can they still, community action agencies still provide resources to people that don't have a drug policy?
It isn't a program anymore at Community Action. The programs have been dispersed. Mm-hmm. I would definitely check with your Chamber of Commerce, and they can direct you to organizations that can help provide policy information, what to do for pre- and post-employment, you know, those types of things.
Okay, so change the subject a little bit. Community Action Agency, I see the name, and then I also see the name Arches often in the same conversation. Can you explain the relationship between those two entities or efforts?
Yeah. So Community Action Agency is the company, and Arches is a division of the company, just like Head Start and Nutrition First and Home Youth and Resource Center, those types of things. It's a program of.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the mission of Arches?
Arches is a housing and homeless program. They're really reaching out and helping individuals and families that are struggling with homelessness and helping them navigate that next step towards stability and a home, a stable environment.
Well, that's a chore I would not like to have.
And it we is talk a about daunting it on, job.
Yeah, we talk about it here on Newsmakers. We've talked to the mayor about it. We talked to the county commissioners about it. And in the homeless situation, and we see Arches. I see that when you're driving down Commercial, and it looks like, oh, these are the people that allow the homeless to camp in their parking lot. Beyond that, how are they trying? What part of the mission are they working on to transition people or to serve that population?
Well, I would really encourage you to meet with Ashley Hamilton, the new program director of Arches, or Jimmy Jones, who is the Community Action Agency's executive director, to really get into the detail of their work. But in broad strokes, there's case managers to help individuals that are willing and able to move forward. There is a day center where individuals that are homeless can come, come in, get warm, get some case management, have a lunch, those types of things. They also oversee the warming centers in the cold winters. That it's transitioned a little bit. I ran that program for 7 years, but now it's transitioned to them since I left. So they do a variety of things, and I would really encourage a conversation with Ashley on where they're going and the steps that they're taking for the future.
All right. That warming center is huge. I was just talking about it a couple of weeks ago, first time we had a frost. How grumpy I am. I'm waking up with cold feet in my own house, and I'm driving to work and thinking people were out on the streets in this
all
cold
night.
All night, possibly not warm and possibly not dry.
Mm-hmm.
So when you appeal to the humanity, it's just an unbelievable need. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Cindy Lanasar, and she is the Community Relations Liaison for Salem Health. That's what we're going to talk about when we get back. Stay listening to Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and in the studio today, this is one of those days where we get an individual in that you may not be familiar with. I mean, if you are involved in a lot of these community initiatives, then you know the name. And if you're not, things just happen in your community that are good that you may not be familiar with. It's one of those individuals we like to spotlight here on Newsmakers. We like to spotlight in entrepreneurs, right? Who's somebody who's invested in the community. We like to spotlight someone who has an initiative, a nonprofit with an initiative to redo the YMCA, for instance, or somebody who's launching a new mentorship program and so forth. And we like to spotlight individuals that I think have brought such great value to our Mid-Willamette Valley that you may not have heard of, and you don't really know how their role intersects with our quality of life. And every time you have somebody who did not go down the drug route or was steered away from the drug route, every time you find someone who is getting out of homelessness, every time you find a child who is at risk but found a stable foundation through early childhood education, there's an umbrella organization that did that. And Cindy Lanasar, you were part of it for a long time.
I was.
So first of all, we've been talking about that the first half of the hour here, and I want to thank you for all that work. I saw you. Our lives intersected. They first collided on the Little League field. I don't think sometimes I wasn't quite sure if Cindy liked me or not, but we all did the best we could for those little munchkins and teaching them what such a great game.
You just didn't know I knew the game as well as I did.
Oh, I knew. Yeah. You just thought you were quieter than you actually were.
Well, yeah.
I do remember one time and you're like, well, this is my sport, because of course you were a softball player and
right.
what have you. So Cindy as well, we talked about, she's got three sons that looks after, and one of them is a coach at McNary. And anyway, great to have you. Let's talk about your role at Salem Health now. I just saw you last Thursday morning at the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. I love their public policy meetings. It's a great place to go to really get a pulse of some of the things that are being decided in our community and things that are happening. Your ultimate boss lady now, Cheryl Nestor Wolf. I served on the Salem Chamber Board with her for mm-hmm. a couple of years. She was on as I was going off, and she was elevated, of course. And you know what I really like about her, amongst many other things, is that she came from the nursing ranks.
Yes.
You probably knew, but she's still a registered RN.
Yes.
I mean, she's still a licensed RN. And so if you wanted to, you could hand her a hypodermic. But she does.
Well, isn't it a nurse always a nurse?
Yeah, you would think.
Isn't it?
But to maintain her licenses, you know, she's not wandering the floors anymore. She's the CEO of Salem Health. And that is a huge organization.
It definitely demonstrates her commitment to positive health and to stay up on the techniques. And our designation as Magnet is a mm-hmm. national designation of the quality of care that nurses give. You know, it's a passion. It's her life's work. And so it's an honor to serve under her.
You know, in the military, sometimes it's the warrant officers, it's the chief petty officers, it's the sergeant majors that really run the joint, right? And the officers, if they're smart officers, they let them do that, and they learn from, you know, those. And I think in healthcare, a lot of times the doctors and maybe the administrators as well need to learn to listen to the nurses. So shout out to the nurses, mm-hmm. you know.
That's right.
Our son had a lot of health issues growing up and spent way too many days and nights in hospitals, and the nurses, gifts from God, man, unbelievable.
Definitely.
The work that they do, I couldn't do it. List that into the things that I could not do as a pediatric nurse, right? I just couldn't do it. Anyway, so it's great. Cheryl Nestor Wolf, she's the CEO of Salem Health. Salem Health, let's talk a little bit about that whole organization, because it's not just one building down on the campus or even three buildings down on the campus.
No, we are the largest regional hospital in our area. We have two hospitals, Salem Health in downtown Salem and West Valley in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then we have our community health clinics throughout the organization. And we are going to do a ribbon cutting for our brand new facility up in Woodburn on December 13th.
Woodburn?
Yes.
Wow. Did you build this, or did you buy into a practice and rebrand it Salem Health?
No, Salem Health regularly surveys the needs of our community, and like any great organization, creates 10, 15, 20-year plans on how we're going to meet those needs. One of the things that was done long before I get to the organization was seeing how many people from the Woodburn zip code were coming to Salem for services.
Really?
That was not something that is what our organization wanted to provide, a nice 45-minute drive to come to see your doctor and then go home, or urgent care, or any of those types of things. So we started with a small clinic and a modular just off the freeway if you're exiting towards the mall, the outlet mall. Mm-hmm. And over this past year, we have built a full building, and we will house many services that are required in Woodburn. One of the greatest is urgent care. That'll be open for those emergencies that happen after hours and on the weekends. We'll have mother baby, we'll have x-ray, we'll have lab, we'll have a lot of different organizational skills in the Woodburn area now. We're very proud of that.
Wow, who really would have thought that Woodburn, and they're not going north into the Portland metro area, but they're kind of skirting Silverton Health and Saniam, mm-hmm. right? And they're coming in and using Salem Health's facilities. Had a lot of that been emergency room and urgent care?
Well, and I would say urgent care was big on that. Mm-hmm. Our emergency room is the busiest from Seattle to San Francisco.
Hold on. Dave, did you hear that? It's the biggest ER from Seattle to San Francisco right here in Salem.
Yeah.
Yes. That's frightening.
It's impressive, too.
Kind of scares me that, you know, that's a lot of doctor, nurse, infrastructure rooms especially if you think in terms of growth, we're already that busy.
Right. And a lot of the data that we're seeing that our emergency room is handling calls that should or could be done by a primary care physician or an urgent care. So I don't know the data for Woodburn, but if you're coming to the emergency room and you could have gone to an urgent care, that's the reason that we would be putting an urgent care there.
Yeah. I had this experience, and I'm trying to remember who it was. There are regulations around the emergency room.
Yes.
CEO Cheryl was talking about it. But if you walk in and you say you need help, you have to be seen by federal regulations.
Correct.
So you have to be seen. You come in and say, I need, or I'm not feeling, whatever. Somebody needs to see you and medically clear you. So these are federal regulations if you want to have a hospital, folks. So if people go into the emergency room to escape the cold, people go into the emergency room because their doctor's office is busy, people go into the emergency room because they need stitches, then suddenly you're getting the highest cost health care when there might have been a better alternative. So get this. I'm talking to the emergency room, because we've been there. They cannot tell you, oh, by the way, there's no wait at urgent care across the street.
Yeah, we've talked about that a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's they're not permitted to even tell you. So you could be sitting there for 3 or 4 hours, and Salem Health, and you think about it, downtown in the middle of Salem, they maintain an urgent care a couple blocks away, and they can't even tell them that exists for the benefit of that person. So they might be coming in, and that's where government, and then you talk about the federal red tape and what they require. I totally get, hey, you're required to see them. Mm-hmm. Totally get it. I don't necessarily get, you might get quicker service, faster, more conveniently, and less expensively if you walk right there.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I pride Salem Health in is our Community Matters marketing campaign. And it's not marketing necessarily to have you come for our services, but it's marketing on things that you should know about to keep yourself and your family in good health. And one of the brochures that has gone out is The Right Care at the Right Time. I think this is an amazing opportunity for folks to say, ooh, if I need stitches, I should go over here. Mm-hmm. If I have a scratchy throat, I should go over here. If I have a broken bone, I don't need to go to the emergency room. I can go to urgent care. So you're making sure that your community knows what the level of care at each type of opportunity is, and it is ultimately going to reduce your wait time, reduce your cost, mm-hmm. and improve the quality of care. So I really like that brochure and the whole Community Matters campaign.
Is that online, Cindy?
Yep.
We're talking to Cindy Lanazar, Community Relations Liaison for Salem Health. So we, speaking of clinics, and let's talk about, we're talking about the umbrella a little bit before we got sidetracked of Woodburn. Polk County, the hospital out there, so
yes.
West Valley,
mm-hmm.
has its own emergency room, a
yes.
small one.
Uh-huh.
Been there. So,
wow, you've been around.
Never, not that there's any health issues in the DeHart household, right? also, but it's nice to have that for Dallas, Monmouth, Independence to not have to come in here. Has limited hours, though.
Yes.
So, the only way to get it is through the Salem Hospital at times. And then you were talking about right care, right time, right place. There's clinics in town. I saw at least one clinic in town that's where you go when you break a bone.
Yeah.
That is all ortho related, but it's like drop in model. So, I don't know, be like, while you wait, a new cast on your leg kind of thing, you know?
There you go.
I don't know, but that there's so many different ways to deliver healthcare. You really have to keep up with all the changes and have an idea. So
yeah.
Online, you said that that resource about where should you go for what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you find them at Salem Health and click around?
Yep.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Cindy Lanazar. She's the community relations liaison. We learned a lot of things about Salem Health. They're talking about growing, talking about building another 150 beds and what that means and how that pencils out and how they're going to recruit enough doctors and nurses. All of those things were the subject of the meeting we were at the Chamber of Commerce last week. We're going to spend the rest of the hour talking about that. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. It's a great pleasure today to talk to one of those individuals we like to spotlight here on Newsmakers that does things in the community you might not be familiar with.
And just some things?
Some things. A thing or two.
Try a plethora of things.
Plethora. I got lots of stuff I've done.
Cindy, you're a plethora of things. Cindy Lenazar, Community Relations Liaison with Salem Health. We were talking before the break about how many different facilities there are, any programs there are. And a lot of people may not be familiar that Salem Health has its own services for primary care.
Yes.
Right? Salem Clinics.
Correct.
Right? Salem Health Clinics, not to be confused with the Salem Clinic.
Right. Salem Health Medical Group is the official name, but okay. It is a clinic. It's mostly primary care. And, you know, just your regular old doctor goes and see.
Is that the facility we see on South River Road?
Yes.
I know that they have some of those. Yeah.
Yep.
And that way you're able to get a primary care doctor or sometimes a specialist and not have to go to the emergency room like we were talking about in the last section. So West Valley and now a footprint in Woodburn. But really the focus right now, what's in the news, are the plans to build a $200+ million new tower where there's currently a surface lot on the campus. And as we were saying earlier in the hour, we heard Cheryl Nestor Wolf, who is the CEO. So she's a step or two above your level.
Several.
She's the boss lady.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how this is largely intended to serve the Medicare clientele as the community is aging. And all of these things are numbers. So many things in business are numbers, right? But how old is the population? And the population this is this many years old has this many hospital visits. As we get older, we're going to need more beds.
Yep.
So the challenges of funding all of that and having the capacity to do that in effectively a one hospital town,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you hear any rumblings out there about needing a second hospital, or we just need to make capacity enough in Salem?
You know, that's something that's outside of my purview. So I know that Salem Hospital always does that 10-year, 15, 20-year plan. We're looking at visits to our facility. We're looking at our community, how it's changed. The populations have changed. Populations are living longer. We're growing and living longer. So the powers that be study these statistics all the time and are creating the best healthcare system for our community. And that's what this plan is set to address.
Cindy, earlier on in the hour, you talked about that your job is go out in the community and find partners and find places to invest your time and talents for the organization to do that. Is it fair to say a more healthful community or a more robust health system in the region?
Definitely a healthier community, and Salem Health wants to be a great community partner. And from Cheryl's leadership several years ago, she wanted all of our executive leadership to get out there and serve on a board. And I can say everybody does. Now that message is trickling down to the next levels of managers, and we have more people serving in not-for-profit organizations, giving our time, talent, and treasure to those organizations, making our community a better place. And that's one example of us giving back, but we also take out teams of staff to nonprofits and do community service. Hmm. We've done habitat builds. We work with the Salem Parks Department and plant flowers every year at Riverfront. We work at Art Fair and a variety of different organizations. One of the things that I do is I help to oversee our grant opportunities, which is being revamped right now. Also, all of our sponsorship opportunities, which is a lot of them. We want to make sure that we are the good corporate citizen giving back to the organizations that are helping to make our community a bigger place.
Well, what a great leadership thing to say, hey, if you're working here, we need you to be also engaged in the community.
Yes,
we can't be in an ivory tower. We can't just be in the echo chamber of healthcare. We need to be out in the community and listen to all the nonprofits and the boards and different agencies. That's very great leadership and really important for the community, for them to understand the community and not just be an island of healthcare, right?
Right.
It's got to be integrated. Salem Health does sponsor a lot of things.
We do. We are involved a lot.
And so what's your role? Is your role to kind of have some familiarity and brief the organization on this initiative with this nonprofit is doing this and have those relationships in the community?
Definitely having relationships is key. For sponsorships, you know, if anyone is interested in getting Salem Health to sponsor their whatever, then you need to email me and tell me about it. For larger investments such as grants, it's trying to figure out what that health initiative is and how we can be a partner in moving that health initiative forward. One of the things that I'm working on with others in the organization is adolescent mental health, suicide ideation. Mm-hmm. This is a huge thing hitting our country as well as our county. Last year, 16 individuals under the age of 24 committed suicide, and that is not where we want to be, is to have this many death by suicides. So we are actively pursuing partnerships to invest our resources to have folks go through QPR, which is question, prefer, persuade, refer individuals that might be having ideation thoughts. We're working with school districts right now to bring in best practice curriculums, helping teachers and students have skills to be able to combat early signs. And we're doing lots of free activities at the hospital, classes and things like that, all in an attempt to work on our mental health issue that is large in our community.
Yes, that's what you're talking about, where the organization is going to invest its time and treasure and talents and prevention, hopefully. One of the interesting things, I asked this question at the meeting, actually, in terms of I worry about having enough providers in the community. I think we've all been subject at one point or another with a long waiting period if you want to see a specialist. For a while, it was almost impossible to find an endocrinologist or so on and so forth. It was good news. I thought it was really good news that she said, well, our salaries are very competitive. They're competitive mm-hmm. with the Portland market. Salem is a very attractive place for a practitioner to come here in the Mid-Valley. I mean, we love it, but maybe they're coming out of med school somewhere else in the country, or maybe they're coming out of a practice somewhere else in the country. That was great news to hear about Salem Health, that the salaries are commensurate with the big city.
Yes.
Right? And she actually said that recruiting is fairly easy, and that was not always the case.
Right.
It is a huge piece of, like, why your job even exists, Cindy. We're talking about, by the way, we're talking to Cindy Lanazar, a community relations liaison. Your job exists, and because everybody recognizes that we have to have this great system, and we have to have a great school district and quality of life and park system for us to attract great practitioners to be here.
Well, I want to do another shout out to Salem Health. We have a recruitment team, and we don't only recruit for employing the person with us, but we recruit for our community. We do a needs assessment. What are the type of practitioners that we need in our community? And maybe another organization needs to hire, but they don't have the HR resources that we do. We use our HR resources to reach out to find that practitioner, woo them to our region, and then they're working for a different organization. That's an example of us giving back to our community, the community benefit that we can give through our talent.
Well, we've been talking to Cindy. She's been all over the community doing a lot of different things to help make it a better place, a place to grow up in, a place to live in. And now at Salem Health, so many things to talk about in Salem Health. We'll have to have Cheryl on the show, actually, to talk about some of these things. Primary care is huge, and I know Salem Health, it's been announced that they're looking at buying the Independent Physicians Network or that organization to help maintain and make sure that we have these primary care physicians and we don't have any gaps. We've got to go, but I want to thank you for being here. It was really a great hour. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the work you do in the community.
It's my pleasure.
We'll see you again. This is Brent for Dave, and we're doing this again tomorrow on Newsmaker 1430 KYKN.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.